Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Garskadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is a blessed day and a day where a lot of the things we've been praying about and the reason we're standing for, they're starting to, in a sad way, come home to roost. In the fact that a lot of the things of why we prayed the last election in order to try to have what we believe the Lord and what a lot of people believe the Lord's intended president was supposed to be, and the reason why we stood for that. Things are starting to happen that were denied the possibility of happening from a lot of people, but the truth comes to bear, and we now have to face the facts. And one of the things we try to do here, the best we try to do, we're human, we fail most likely sometimes, is to be objective in what we're informing people on and standing for and praying for, because at the end of the day, our goal here is to pray for God's will to come into the earth as it is in heaven. And so we want to thank each and every one of you for joining with us across this country, this great land that God has given us. And today we want to really speak about how in the season ahead, we as believers and even those we come into contact with and helping those who are other believers who aren't necessarily following here is to, in the days ahead, know we're going to have to, when we interact with those who are non-believers and even other believers, to speak with truth and love. And there's a host of reasons that why this hasn't been done in the past. But I do want to start off with this story that has come out from the CDC that within the last 12 months, based upon the data that the CDC itself has, the U.S. has reached death toll from drug overdoses of over 100,000. The number is, I believe, 100,000, like 306. And so this is the highest recorded number of drug overdose within the United States. The reason this is important and the reason we need to be aware of this and understand not only what has happened in the past, but how what this means going forward is, and this is from the CDC itself, is because of the lockdowns, the isolation of people who either have mental issues and they need drugs, and in some cases people do take medication to help boost their esteem. They need counseling. They need to be around the social aspect. Then you go into the kids. That's another whole subject. That's not even kids don't have access to these type of drugs to be able to overdose. But that's something in the future that we're going to have to look towards, is this isolation, shutting down, locking down, shutting people up, putting a cover over their mouth. This is the fruits of this. This is why not only scientifically it was a bad decision to do this. And again, look, objectively, we have to look at who was in office. And this was a bad decision in the long run. It does not help people. And so the reason we want to be aware of this is, as we talked about earlier this week, and the CDC is reporting that a lot of these deaths are coming from people having fentanyl overdoses. And from the CDC showing, or the DEA, excuse me, the DEA has shown that a lot of these fentanyl drugs that come through Mexico are being imported from China into Mexico and then pushed up through the Mexico-U.S. border. And therefore spread out into the rest of the United States. And then you have fake pills on top of that and everything. I say all that to say is now is an even more important time for the gospel of the kingdom to be spread in this nation, not even considering the other nations, which we have a destiny to be, but in this nation, it is even more important. And to do that with truth and love and make people aware of the realities of who God really is and how he can really save them through the depths of despair that they are in. Because even through all the darkness and everything that is going on, there is still hope. There is still light for people to be able to get out of these situations, no matter how deep, dark, dire the situation may be. The Lord can make all things work together for his good. So we want to talk about that. We want to see the fruits of these decisions that have been made by politicians and really be, we want to be aware of that and have that be a mode of focus for why the Holy Spirit is needed now more than ever in this nation's history. Okay, moving on. I want to, this is a great bill I want to bring up. And there are a few GOP House leaders who have presented a bill and are trying to present a bill called the Parents' Bill of Rights Act to ultimately counter a lot of your state and local officials and even federal officials on the dictates of the school curriculum and the argument of parental involvement within the school system. This is a huge voting block issue right now for both the Democrat and Republican voters. And depending on how, as you saw in Virginia, how a politician stands, this can swing votes in a certain direction. Now, this bill, for those in Louisiana and in other states, will find this very interesting. It is sponsored by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. I think Josh Hawley is a part of it as well. Virginia Fox from North Carolina. She's not in my district here. New Representative Julia Letlow, whose husband passed away last year from complications. New Representative Burgess Owens from Utah, Jim Banks from Indiana. And what this bill does, I want to read this. This is, I mean, it's common sense, but I think this is great for this to even be presented on the House floor. What the main principles of this legislation, it includes the right for parents to know what is being taught in public schools and to see the reading materials. And in some counties and states, they're allowed to, and a lot of more of your blue areas, you're not. They push back on it, and you have to go to court to get rights, to get your own rights to be able to see this. So now they're trying to make it a federal statute. The right to be heard as a parent, the right to see schools' budget and spending, which, of course, you're paying taxpayer dollars. Why shouldn't you be able to see that? The right to protect their children's privacy and the right to be updated on any violent activity at school. And the reason they're bringing these issues up is because these issues have been at play where school boards and local and state officials have prevented parents from having this knowledge. And also, it specifically would, among other measures, prohibit public schools from selling student data, test results, demographic information to organizations to counter or to cater, I should more say, a curriculum and or resources to a school, parents, children in the area. In reality, just having control over your data as an individual. And it also would require that parents sign consent forms before schools administer health procedures. This is actually becoming a big thing in a lot of areas. Washington, D.C., local school district actually has, and it's being challenged by a family, faith and family organization in Washington, D.C., that by law from the mayor of Washington, D.C., children can get vaccinated, children can have certain procedures done without knowledge or consent of a parent. So this is why this is thrown in there, is because there are health administrators and local school officials and local state officials, school board officials who are trying to push for, and even in California, they're trying the same thing, for kids to get COVID vaccine without parents' consent, for kids to be able to have abortion without parents' consent, and a couple of other things. But those are the top two. And also, last portion I want to read is that in the joint statement put out by the Republicans is that their legislation will protect parental involvement in reinforcing the right to be heard, the right to see curriculums, and the right to be updated on any violent activity that happens on their children's campus. Again, from Loudoun County, you've seen that this is an issue. Now, the realities that this will actually be passed, because it is Republican-led, is very slim to none. But the political play here is that you try to push for this to get on the House floor and you try to push for a vote so that you know where both Republican and Democrats stand ahead of the 2022 election. And being that this is such a high leverage topic right now, this is why they're pushing for this. These are common sense results, which you shouldn't even have to pass this. In reality, is this should be the norm. But in reality, is that this is a bill that of how Congress and legislature it should be ruling, in that, look, parents have rights. Local and state officials are not adhering to those rights. Now let's make it legal on paper, have consequences to it for if they don't. And so in our prayer point here, we want to continue to pray that we want to repent for allowing Caesar to rule the education system alone, and intercede for parents to rise up and take back the education mountain for God's kingdom. Education mountain, for the other mountains, if you understand the seven mountains, is the most important mountain and system to control, because once you control the education mountain, you control the next generation and several generations after. And that's what we've seen with the likes of the increase of socialism and Antifa, et cetera, and so on, of why you have that becoming so popular, is because they've only been taught these things in certain school systems and haven't been exposed to an opposing point of view and the truth in a lot of cases. So this is one of those things we want to continue to pray on in the days ahead. Okay. Next, there are a few stories I kind of want to clump together for one prayer point. In the way the Biden administration is acting now is a part of why those who stood and stand for biblical moral values didn't want him and or his administration to be put in office because of some of the decisions that are being made. Now, part of the good thing from this is the good thing of Biden being elected is that those who advocate for these socialistic policies and tyrannical policies from government officials are seeing the realities of what this actually looks like on a day-to-day basis when you advocate for these type of policies. Now, some of them are doubling down, wanting more. And, you know, the whole narrative of, well, it wasn't done right when it was tried. It is being exposed right now. And I want to point out a few things that we need to be extremely aware of that are trying to be reversed and implemented in this season from this Biden administration, because it goes against the tenets and the foundations of this nation that God put in place from the very beginning. And one of those is freedom of religion and freedom of speech. And in the Trump administration, put in basically a guideline for how religious liberty concerns were handled via the Department of Health and Human Services, via the Labor Department. And now Secretary Xavier Beccaria is going back and flipping that back and taking away the authority of the Office of Civil Rights from being actually the portion of the government to actually oversee and walk out and really see what these religious liberty concerns are from those who file it. And this should be no surprise coming from the gentleman who, if I remember correctly, he was the one when Obamacare was put into place, he was one to stand against the Little Sisters of the Poor who did not want to be a part of Obamacare and have to pay for abortion care and contraceptives and things that they stood against their religious beliefs. And so what this Biden administration is doing is completely overturning the things that, number one, they said they wouldn't do, because Xavier Becerra did before Congress say he would uphold religious liberties, but it is being exposed through his actions that this is not the case. And so what is happening is the Health and Human Services is able to attack religious organizations who stand up against it versus what the Trump administration put into place was the OCR was supposed to really be the in-between and really handle that so that these compliance issues for religious freedoms would actually be handled correctly and religious liberties would be protected. And so what this does is allows religious liberties to not be protected and freedom of speech, et cetera, to go on. And this is really double-mindedness from the Biden administration. So we want to point that one out. Next little story is you're starting to see Biden now blame the energy sector for the high oil prices, while not taking responsibility for his own. Before, it was OPEC's fault. Now it's oil and gas companies' fault because they're colluding together despite having the inability to be able to produce and drill gas under the Biden administration and for the Keystone Pipeline to no longer be used since Biden took office, but it's their fault anyways. Again, this is doublespeak. These are his mistakes, not taking responsibility for it. And in reality, this is, again, a good thing for people to realize the type of leaders that are in office now. This doesn't just go with Biden. This goes with down the line of those who are under him, those who are working with him to advocate such policies. And this is more so the green energy type stuff. Well, climate change stuff, the climate change agenda, which there's a whole host of issues in dealing with that. But what he's saying is there's a mountain of evidence of anti-consumer behavior by oil and gas companies, and he's putting the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, to basically consider whether illegal conduct is costing families at the pump, and I believe you should do so immediately. It's very double-minded for him to say these things and to advocate for this when in reality a lot of this stuff was put into place and occurred, and inflation has occurred because of the direct policy decisions from day one of this administration that has caused. Okay. Another story is that on the borders, and this goes back to the first story that I talked about, where you have an increase or more so the highest number of drug overdoses deaths in a 12-month span via the open border system because opening of fentanyl is now the Department of Homeland Security is expecting more than 2 million illegal aliens will have attempted to cross the southern border by the end of the year since January, which is a direct lie in the sense of we don't have open borders. We have everything handled. Now, knowing this, we have this reality happening at the southern border. And we talked about a little bit yesterday, the realities of what's going on, not only drugs, but who's coming across the border, who we don't know is coming across the border, the concerns with links to terrorist organizations and terrorist nations there, is that there has now been revealed, this has been known for a while, but now starting to be exposed more and more, lights being shown, that the Biden administration, nonprofits, and your and I taxpayer dollars are being used to fund these nonprofits who are giving welcome, basically first-class travel concierge service, a travel agency to illegal aliens to come from other countries to America. Shocking, I know. But this happened under the Obama administration, and this is happening under the Biden administration or Obama 3.0. And what's happening is that I'm trying to see. There is a whistleblower who gave a report to Lance Gordon of Texas, which basically undermines what Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas claimed that the southern border is closed. Again, another lie here. And it highlights the extensive network of nonprofits, corporations, and family foundations working together to circumvent immigration laws passed by Congress. And the guise that these organizations are using is, oh, we're helping people. It's a humanitarian issue. Again, the international law for humanitarian aid is that the people go to the closest nation to them. And in this report, you can read it. There's a link to it here if you want to go through and read it. But this article does a breakdown. This packet reveals that there was a 46-year-old man. Oh, here it is. A 46-year-old man, the itinerary of a 46-year-old Honduran man who entered the United States illegally in California via San Diego from an organization called Rapid Response Network, who identifies itself as a coalition of human rights and service organizations, attorneys, and community leaders dedicated to aiding immigrants, illegal immigrants, and their families in the San Diego border regions in the United States. International law says that someone in Honduras should go to either El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Belize, heck, even Mexico, and that's where they're supposed to seek aid from. An Honduran man who goes through Guatemala into Mexico, up to San Diego, over here, is not following international law, nonetheless U.S. law, of going to a checkpoint and trying to enter in through the border checkpoints. So we have to be aware of these issues, of what is going on. Of if you're saying you really care about humanitarian crisis and you care about the sovereignty of our nation and the welfare of our nation, because a lot of these cases is these people come in and they don't have to pay taxes, but yet they are a drain on the system. And go look at California and the responses there as to how much we talked about it before. John West has talked about it before, about the drain that they put on the system. And look, there probably are some humanitarian crisis and issues, and they need help, especially in countries like Haiti, which you've seen a lot of immigrants come from. But again, Haiti is not connected to the United States. Now, there's a discussion of do we help, do we not help? That's another thing to have. But to sit here and say crossing the border illegally is a cause for concern. And the reason we bring this up in a prayer point about the Biden administration is that they have double speak. They have the lying that has been going on around this. And so what we want to pray for and really repent for is repent for the Biden administration's double-mindedness and intercede for the Holy Spirit to come into the White House and open the eyes of the staffers and for the Lord's enemies to be scattered. Because right now is a time where those who are in this administration can see the realities of these policies and how harmful they are to this nation, not only now, but in the days ahead as well. Now, given that fact, as believers, we understand that those people who come here, let's get them saved, and let's make sure they have a heart for their country to go back and spread the gospel of the kingdom to their nation. So it's kind of a look, this is not what we would like as a sovereign nation, but here's what's happening, and we need to do something about it in the meantime. Okay. One of the last few things I want to talk about is earlier this week, I talked about knowing those who labor among you via 1 Thessalonians 5:12, where Paul's telling Thessalonians to know those who labor among them. And again, I want to point this out because this story came out from Christian Cinema, in that the infrastructure bill, the 1.2 infrastructure bill that was just signed by Biden, that is going into effect, that will cause severe economic harm, continued inflation for this nation for a couple more years, if allowed to actually go through, was not passed solely by Democrats. It was a bipartisan effort. And, you know, even here she talks about how the 13 Republicans who voted yes on the bill in the House are seeing death threats and everything. But I've talked about it before. You can't forget about the 19 Republicans who voted for the measure in the Senate because, well, 4D chess works. via what Mitch McConnell says. Now, we have to be aware of this to understand that when we go to the polls, just because somebody's a Republican and or a Democrat doesn't mean that you necessarily need to be voting for them. Know them, know their policies, understand them, especially in it starts at the local level. It starts at the smallest level, and that's how they work their way up. The better candidates will sometimes you'll never hear of 10, 15 years down the road. It's these local elections where people see success and they continue to ride it and get input in office, and they have this experience to understand how legislative efforts work. And so I say this for the simplicity of come the 2022 election. I brought up this prayer point the other day, and we want to continue to pray and stand on this, is that we want to intercede for voters to know those who labored among them come 2022 and 2024 elections, because we're seeing that there are some who are just putting an R next to their name because they know they can get elected. Not because they want to see this nation turn back to God, turn back towards freedom, and have this nation be pulled out of this crisis that we're in. They just want to get in the position of authority and power for authority and power's sake. And so we as the people need to understand and need to pray that they have this understanding once they go to the voters' polls, and just remove the fog that's over their eyes from believing everything that politicians say before they've actually been put in office. Because a lot of times politicians like to say what you want to hear, and in reality is they have no experience and or backbone and or have policy stances that actually support that. Okay, last thing I want to talk about, something we really need to pray about and really pay attention for, is the UN is starting to go back, and the Biden administration is a part of this, go back and negotiate with Iran on the Iran nuclear deal that was torn up by the Trump administration because the Iranians have not been following it, and it did not follow it from day one. And even within the Iran nuclear deal that Obama passed, it allowed for them to be able to produce nuclear centrifuges. And what is being reported is now that the IAEA, the organization who's supposed to be able to monitor the centrifuges that are being built, it's being reported that they have been unable to for months and years now. And so what's happening now is Iran is starting to ramp it back up their production. And so you don't know how, other than Israel getting data out of where they're at, you don't know what's actually going on. And there is certain parts or certain assembly plants, this one in Karaj, a city west of Tehran, the capital of Iran, where they're continuing to produce. They supposedly had stopped it when Israel attacked them, but in reality, they started back up again and producing the centrifuges. And so this is a cause for concern and something to pray for. And what we want to pray for is that the Biden administration have a backbone and stand up for Israel and really for life in the coming nuclear Iran talks. Because if Iran is able to get this capability, it's not going to be far behind that nation like North Korea, i.e. China, others who don't have this capability yet, to be able to get it, share it, trade it, and potentially do harm with it. And so not only towards us in the United States, but also Israel. Understand that the leaders of Iran consider Israel the small Satan and America the big Satan. And they are open and public about that. So this, we want to continue to pray for God's wisdom to come for this administration to side for Israel and for the U.S., which is really standing for life, because of the capabilities. And even though Iran says they're not going to use this for nuclear capabilities and create, they're going to use it for energy and et cetera, that has not been the case in the past, to whether they can be relied upon and trusted that they would actually follow that, because the very foundations of the Iran nuclear deal allow for them to be able to produce it, even though the supposed intent of the Iran nuclear deal was to prevent them from it. So a bit of double-mindedness when that policy was put into place by the Trump, by the Obama administration, excuse me, which is why the Trump administration tore it up, because they knew it wasn't being followed and it was just wasting time. And it follows the mantra, I forget the exact term, but it's a mantra within the Islamic faith of in times of strength, you attack, and in times of weakness, you negotiate to be able to build up strength to be able to attack. And so that's what's happening right now, is right now they don't have the capabilities that they want, and they're trying to get them, so that's why they negotiate to stall and buy time to be able to get that. So I close with that. Understand that even with all this happening, is people are being made aware. The truth is coming out into the realities of what these policies stand for. And even though it doesn't seem like the situation, you know, anybody would hope for, we have to understand that this is, in the long run, will be for the benefit not only of this nation, but for the gospel and for the ability of the gospel of the kingdom to be spread, and really seeing who actually stands for the biblical foundations and the gospel of the kingdom, not only in this time, but in the days ahead. So with that, I bless you. I thank you. I'll put the comments. I'll put the links to the articles and the comments and show notes, as well as the prayer points as well. Today, we will not have a live stream for prayer walk, as we're taking a break, and we'll be back tomorrow for our noon prayer. And then also next week, we'll be off completely. The only services we'll be having are Sunday's services next week. So hoping that you guys can enjoy the week of Thanksgiving and spend some time with friends and family as time allows in the days ahead. And we'll be back the following week, but I'll be back tomorrow as well to close out the week before we enter into Thanksgiving break. So blessings. See you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.